everybody for being here tonight, and obviously we're here to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And this is a wonderful time to get together and do that. Let's open up with prayer, and we'll continue singing and praising his name. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being here tonight, the fact that we have this place to come and gather and to worship you tonight, Father, and to celebrate the birth of Jesus. I pray, Father, as we worship tonight, that our worship would be acceptable to you. And Lord, that as we continue to worship and to fellowship, Father, that we would all continue to focus primarily on Jesus and his birth, Lord, as we celebrate this season. Thank you for your love for us, Father, and for that wonderful gift. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Okay, let's continue in song with What Child Is This? The great Lamb of God that would live a perfect life so that on that cross, as he sacrificed himself, we would have eternal life and an eternal presence with you. We praise you and we thank you. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Till he appeared. the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus praise thee. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory forevermore proclaim. His power and glory forevermore proclaim.
It's really good to see you here tonight. It's a special night. Everyone is so busy, and many have Christmas celebrations with their family on Christmas Eve, some on Christmas Day, some the day after, some this past weekend. But this is a special night, and you've taken time to come out, and I promise not to keep you too long. A reminder that afterwards, we do have cake and cookies and punch and coffee, a time of fellowship one with another. As we start tonight, I would ask you please to stand, and we will read God's word and honor it. It is taken from the Gospel of Jesus according to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Pray with me. Father, your word reminds us of a special gift and a special time at a special place where an event in history changed this world and it changed the lives of so many people. I thank you that it's changed my life and those here tonight. As your word goes forth tonight, Father, it's my prayer that you will bless it and honor it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, one of the tragedies of the first Christmas was fact that so many missed Christmas. We talked about that this past Sunday. Caesar Augustus, who owned the whole world, the Roman Empire, he had it all, except he didn't have the gift of Christ, the gift of God himself. And then, of course, there was the innkeeper who was so busy, he was close to this event, and yet he was so busy with his business that he missed it completely. Herod, of course, was told about where the king of the Jews would be born, yet he was so zealous about his own kingdom that he wanted nothing to do with this new king, and so he missed Christmas. And lastly, of course, were the religious leaders who had all the answers to all of the questions about religion, but they had no love for or desire for the king himself, no interest in him. That's only half of the story, because as we read tonight, there are some, two groups, by the way, who in fact found the very first Christmas. One was the shepherds, who an angel came and appeared to and told them about the Christ child who was being born, and the other was the wise men and the star that led them to Bethlehem and also to the very place, to the very manger where Christ was. Two groups of people, shepherds and wise men. I cannot imagine a greater contrast between those two groups of people. I'm going to try to help you understand. The shepherds were very low on the society index. The wise men were at the top. The shepherds were looked down upon because they were considered the lowest elements of society. They were despised. They were mistrusted. They couldn't even testify in court for fear, because they were expected to be lying whenever they were asked to give their testimony. It was assumed that they would lie. They were gypsies. They were migrants. They were vagrants. They were con men, shepherds. That was the place in the society where they fell, at the very bottom. At the very top, of course, were the wise men. They were men of influence who had no trouble coming to Herod's palace, and in fact, he was given permission to go and talk to King Herod at that time. And so there's the difference. Another difference was their financial level, the very lowest paying, lowest level job of all in Israel was a shepherd. They had nothing, they owned nothing. Really, the only thing they had was a job, but it paid the least amount. Even the sheep that they tended to, that they shepherded, were not their own sheep. And so when they came to Bethlehem, they came to see what had happened. They didn't have any gifts to give. The wise men, on the other hand, brought gifts. They had enough time on their hands to take this long journey. It might have been 2 or 3 months for all we know. We don't know how far. We don't know where the east was, but it was far to the east, and they followed this door, and they came to Jerusalem. And so when they arrived, because of their financial status, they brought gifts of myrrh and frankincense and gold, and they gave those gifts away. Let's talk about their education level. The shepherds were considered people of the land, which meant they had no formal training. They had no formal education. They couldn't read. They couldn't read the scriptures. They couldn't write. No formal education. The wise men, on the other hand, were very learned. They studied the arts, medicine. We have a doctor tonight with us. They studied the medicines, astrology, astronomy, philosophy. They were professors. They were broad in their knowledge, and they studied, and they knew a lot. They knew so much that when the star appeared, they were able to tell that it was a special star that had a special meaning, and it was related to the Jewish kingdom and the Jewish religion, and that's why they decided to follow it. Another difference between these two groups of people, the shepherds and the wise men, were their location relative to Bethlehem or Jerusalem. The wise men, of course, lived and worked right outside in the hills of Bethlehem. It was just a stone's throw. They could probably see the lights and hear the crowds as they came in for Passover. They were very close. The wise men were far, far away. And so what this story tells me is that it doesn't matter where you live, how far you are, how close, how rich you are, how poor, how wise you are, how ignorant you are, what social level that you are on, high or low, that Christ has come for everyone that will have him. He is available to every person, regardless of how important or unimportant they may be. And so he came as the Savior of the world for you and for me. There's some similarities, by the way, in their experiences. There was an announcement to the shepherds. Scripture says the glory of the Lord shone around them, and an angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Then a great company of angels praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." So they had a verbal and a visual announcement. There was an announcement to the wise men also. There was a star in the heavens that was very special, and it guided them and eventually brought them to the very house where Jesus was. Now, both of these revelations, the one to the shepherds and the one to the wise men, were special because this was almost the very first word that God had spoken to the Israelites in 400 years. I'm certain that God was speaking to some of those who had not forsaken him, but this is the only recorded words, contact, that God the Father had with the Israelite people since the days of Malachi. Those were called the silent years. There was no sign from God. There was no prophet to speak his words. But now the sky was filled with angels and with stars and all kinds of messages of joy that were being heard. Well, our own experience, yours and mine, is similar to theirs, only a lot greater. We have an announcement. We have the scriptures. And the scriptures say a light shining in a dark place. And it's talking about Christ. The wise men and the shepherds did one other thing similarly. They obeyed the call. God had called them. The wise man could have said, "Well, you know, this star, we're not sure what it's about, and if it has any meaning, it's a long way from here to Jerusalem, and it's a long trip, and there's probably other people welcoming this child that has been born. We just don't need to go. Let's just stay here." Well, the shepherds could have said, "Well, we aren't fit to be in attendance of this Christ child. We don't have the right clothes. Who's going to take care of the sheep? We aren't dressed. We don't have anything to bring." And so neither the wise men nor the shepherds did that. But both groups said, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." You and I have also been invited to come and see this Jesus. All who are weary and burdened, and he will give you rest. If you haven't responded to that call, then you haven't found Christmas. The next thing is they found Jesus. In fact, both groups found the Savior. They discovered that the announcements that had been made were in fact true. They were not lies, that God's Son had been born. Today, people act like it's difficult to find Jesus with so many religions to sort through, and they all claim to be the truth, and so they just throw up their hands. But God isn't lost, OK? and tell you that. We're the ones that are lost, and the difficulties are in us. They're not in God or in His Word. If you want to find Jesus, search the Scriptures. He's there. You will find Him. The last thing that was common about the shepherds and the wise men is that they worshiped God. They not only received the announcement, they not only obeyed the call, they not only found the Savior, but they did a fourth thing. They worshiped Him. There is always worship when a person finds the true meaning of Christmas. Always. That is to say, when he finds Christ to be the Savior, there is always worship. So, in closing, I would say that our experience should be the same as that of the wise men and the shepherds. We have an announcement that is our Scriptures. It is God has given us that to find Him. And then we have obeyed the call. We have found Jesus in the Scriptures. We have found Him in our hearts and in our spirit. And we move toward Him. And then we have, in fact, found the Savior. And lastly, we have worshiped Jesus. As a Christian, that is what you have done. It's no different than the wise men of old or the shepherds of old. We are here tonight and every day of our life to worship our Lord and Savior. It honors me that you are here for that purpose tonight. There's so many things you could have been doing. I know the stores are typically open late for the last-minute shoppers. There's things to get and buy and prepare and plan and good to go, but you're here. And I have to presume that you came to worship our Lord. And so I thank you for that. He is honored with your presence tonight. Thank you. We're now going to form a circle, and you each have a candle. We've got a couple of places we're going to be lighting them, and you can light each other's candle. We'll turn out all of the lights. And then we're going to sing Silent Night. Okay. Pete reminded me that if you have the candle that is not lit, that's the one that should be dipped, not the lit candle. Do not dip the lit candle. The lit candle.
Let's just play an instrumental.
That'll work.
What does that look like? The light?
No dip. The lights. Thank you.
And he is Jesus.